Let's talk about panic now. So, a panic attack is a discrete episode of intense anxiety. The experience is usually very distressing and physically really uncomfortable. People having a panic attack describe it like it feels like they're having a heart attack or that they're going to die, especially if it's the first time that they've experienced one or if they don't understand what's happening. A panic attack can be very scary, but it is not life-threatening and it is not dangerous. A worldwide study on panic and anxiety found that the lifetime prevalence of panic attacks, the proportion of the population who has experienced a panic attack in their lifetime, was 13.2%. So theoretically, this means that it's likely that at least one student in your class at any given time is likely to have experienced or will go on to experience a panic attack. The DSM-5, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders we spoke about earlier in the Western Psychology section, defines a panic attack as an abrupt surge of intense fear or discomfort that reaches its peak within minutes and involves four or more of the following symptoms. One, palpitations, pounding heart, or accelerated heart rate. Two, sweating. 3, trembling or shaking. 4, sensations of shortness of breath or smothering. 5, feelings of choking. 6, chest pain or discomfort. 7, nausea or abdominal distress. 8, feeling dizzy, unsteady, lightheaded or faint. 9, chills or heat sensations. Paresthesias, numbness or tingling sensations. 11, derealization, which is feelings of unreality, or depersonalization, which is, you know, feeling detached from oneself. 12, fear of losing control or going crazy. This is something that I hear a lot. 13, fear of dying. Panic arises for most people from an already anxious state or following a stressful trigger or a previous traumatic experience, but sometimes it comes completely out of the blue. Clients have shared with me that they've woken up either in the middle of the night or in the morning in a state of panic without any obvious trigger or cause. That can be particularly scary for people. While 66.5% of people have recurrent panic attacks, some people just have the one episode, and only 12.5% of people who have experienced a panic attack actually meet the DSM-5 diagnostic criteria for panic disorder. In a yoga class, a student could experience a panic attack if they feel unsafe. So if the exit is blocked, for example, by another student practicing in front of the door, or if the door is locked, like to prevent late students coming in, a student might feel like they can't leave if they need to, and this could cause anxiety and panic. Or if a student doesn't know if the teacher is going to touch them, or if the teacher is going to single them out or not in the front of the class, or if they're asked to do partner work that they're not comfortable with, or if the lights are turned off in Shavasana, a student might feel unsafe and experience panic. So we can really reduce the likelihood of this by consciously creating a safe container, like we've talked about in the creating a safe container section. A panic attack could also happen as a result of a yoga practice. So students might feel lightheaded, out of breath, or uncomfortable in a practice, particularly a practice involving rapid breathing like Kapalabhati pranayama, breath retention after the inhalation, or extreme heart opening, chest opening practices. And this could induce a panic attack, particularly if they're currently experiencing or have a history of anxiety, panic, or trauma. Never offer these kind of practices to a group of students who you know are anxious. If you do offer these practices to a group of students, always assume that there might be someone experiencing or with a history of anxiety or panic in the class and let the class know that these practices are contraindicated for anxiety and offer another alternative. In meditation, a student could be triggered by a visualization or an internal experience such as emotions, thoughts, memories, or images. When you're teaching meditation, always give the students the option to practice with their eyes open or closed. Always let them know that they're in the driver's seat and can let go of the sound of your voice or open their eyes whenever they like, and support them to cultivate inner and outer resources. If a student has had a traumatic experience, including a previous panic attack, because that in itself can be a really traumatic experience, there could be something about the class that triggers the memory and leads to either anxiety or panic. So perhaps there's someone in the class that reminds them of somebody else. It might be the smell of the room. It might be the light coming through the windows in a certain way, or someone yelling outside the class, or being in a group of people in an enclosed space. And so while we may do everything we can to create a safe container and choose appropriate practices and give variations, we cannot control all the variables, as we don't know everyone's history or their current state. If a student does have a panic attack, however, we can support them through it. So if you believe someone is having a panic attack, here's what to do to support them. And this comes from the Mental Health First Aid Australia Panic Attack Guidelines. They're a really great resource. Number one, remain calm. Do not panic yourself. Number two, speak to the person in a patient, reassuring, and firm manner using short and clear sentences. Ask them if they've had a panic attack before. If they say yes and they believe that they're having another one, ask what you can do to help rather than making assumptions about what you think that they need you to do. Acknowledge how terrifying panic attacks are while reassuring them that it's not life-threatening or dangerous. Let them know that they're safe and that the symptoms will pass. Once the panic attack has subsided, ask the person if they have support. If they don't, offer some suggestions for getting information and support for panic attacks. Let them know that there are effective treatment options for panic. If you're not sure if the person is having a panic attack or not, especially if they've never had a panic attack before, follow first aid guidelines. It's often impossible to know for sure if someone's having a panic attack or not, as the symptoms sometimes resemble the symptoms of a heart attack or another medical condition. You can check to see if they're wearing a medical alert bracelet or necklace, and if they are, follow the instructions on the alert bracelet and seek medical advice or assistance. If the person loses consciousness, follow first aid guidelines, check for breathing, and call an ambulance. For more information on supporting someone experiencing a panic attack, do visit the Mental Health First Aid Australia website and download the panic attack guidelines. This website really is a wonderful resource. So yoga classes can be a wonderful support for students experiencing panic attacks. If the student feels safe and supported in a general yoga class and they don't continue to have panic attacks in class, then there's no reason why a student who experiences panic cannot attend a regular yoga class, particularly with a teacher who is caring, supportive, and understands about anxiety and panic. However, a student might feel safer and get more benefit from individualized yoga with a yoga therapist or by attending a specific class for anxiety or trauma, particularly if they're experiencing panic in the actual yoga class. Now, as always, be sure to stay within your scope of practice and consider referring the student to someone who has experience with panic attacks, like a psychologist. Okay, that's it for the panic attack section. Thank you so much for joining me. If there's anything you need to do now to support yourself to feel okay after this section, please take the time to do it now and reach out to your support team if you need to.